Hi, everyone. I'm Jenna Millie with Screenwriting You, and I'm here today with director Sean Mishaw and writer Desi Van Til, who co-wrote Tumble Down, the romantic dramedy starring Rebecca Hall and Jason Sudeikis. Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Hi, Jenna.
How did you come up with this idea? Is this a personal story, or is it something that, you know, what was the inspiration for this script?
Kind of a combination of personal story in that, you know, the town that is central to the story is my hometown of Farmington, Maine. I started writing scenes between Hannah and Andrew when I was living in Los Angeles, and Sean and I were dating, and I was working in development and definitely feeling the pull or the desire to write something myself, you know, having spent, at that point, 6 or 7 years reading and working on screenplays, and the characters were really the first to come out, and Hannah and Andrew sort of landed and started talking on page. And then, you know, over the years, I had a sort of very rudimentary shape to what their dynamic was and what their interaction was going to be. I knew that she was from Maine. I knew that he was from New York. I knew that they had these opposing desires, the sort of general idea of the love story, like a three-way love story with one of the characters, you know, being a ghost, being a dead man. But then it was over the years of working together with my director, who I happen to be married to, that we really hammered out the details of the story. But the town itself and the characters, everything from the bookstore owner, like I used to work at that bookstore. I had a neighbor who would bring over animals that were half dead, would run into his window, named Curtis. He, unfortunately, he was not a sex god like Joe Manganiello was, but that's the beauty of getting to screenwrite, is that you can take poetic license in that way. But
and deep down, I don't know if Desi would like addressing it, but, you know, Desi had a loss that she suffered of a good friend from that town, and I feel like it was her desire to explore what loss means in a tiny, tight-knit community like Farmington. And, you know, Desi is an incredibly hopeful, positive force. That she's the reason this movie ever got made, is Desi never quit believing that this story was worth telling and that we would get a chance to do it one way or another. And I feel like that sort of positive energy is what made her want to explore a story about grief, but trying to find the ways in which one can escape grief and one can survive grief and one can believe that there is opportunity or light at the end of the tunnel. I think that's probably what's so unique about Desi's take on life, is she's just incredibly strong-willed and has a great deal of faith in humanity's resilience. So, you know, her exploring a personal loss turned into a much more positive thing, and melded really well with this story of the city boy coming up and getting enmeshed in the country girl's life. And that part kind of echoes our relationship as well. As Desi said, when she started writing this, she and I were just starting to date, and we felt seriously enough about each other that Desi invited me back to visit her hometown in Farmington. And I'd grown up in big cities my whole life, grown up in Europe. We were both living in Los Angeles at the time, but going back to this 7,000-person town of Farmington in Maine, besides the fact that the place was physically ravishing, I was fascinated to find that Desi just didn't just want me to meet her family, her parents. She took me on this tour where we met all of the parents of all the kids she went to high school with. Like she was the daughter of this whole town. The whole town raised her, and she was, you know, their favorite.
Oh, come on.
Expression is their favorite son, but she was their long-lost daughter, and just to feel the way the community wrapped her up in their arms and welcomed me in, that was something that I'd never experienced in my very peripatetic life, moving around and never really getting enmeshed in the community that way. So,
well, they had to check you out first to give you the thumbs up, but they did.
So that started to speak to the script that Desi was writing as well. I think that's, to a certain extent, helped shape the relationship and who a character sees in the place.
That is definitely true. And, you know, what Sean was saying about, you know, my having lost a friend, is that it was a fresh enough kind of loss that, you know, it what Sean was referring to in terms of, you know, my wanting to explore grief and healing, not just in a small town, but how do you grieve when you are inherently a very optimistic and hopeful person, and the sort of common assumptions about what post-grief depression are don't really stick. I wanted to have a lead character who was suffering this loss, but was not doing it in the way that you necessarily always see portrayed. You know, she's not staying in bed until 10 and moping around. She's still very active, and she's part of her community in some ways, but she's not full, she's not really fully herself.
And she's going about overcoming the grief in the wrong way. She's diving into, you know,
the past
and being enmeshed in the life of the man who's gone.
And I think, just in terms to answer your question about the personal part of the story, I think it also, the timing of my beginning to write it was, you know, I was still very acutely feeling how vulnerable this life is, how easy it is to cross the line from being alive to no longer being alive. And
you have to admit.
What?
I mean, it was right after 9/11. That's the other thing that I think we forget.
I never even put that together.
Like, that was sort of the backdrop, maybe just an emotional backdrop.
I wonder.
About the tenuousness of life.
Possible.
You guys are the cutest couple ever. And Sean, you're so sweet. The way you talk about Desi, I mean, it's so nice
well,
and supportive.
That's crazy. How we survived making the movie together.
Did you ever fight or disagree?
It's only out of actually feeling this love and respect for each other. Thank God we feel that way.
I know. It definitely would not, the movie would not have worked, and our marriage would not have worked if we didn't have a deep respect for each other. And, you know, when we really believe something or feel strongly about something, the other one sort of knows to be like, okay, he believes this strongly, we gotta go with it.
That's great.
It goes both ways. But I was just going to say that in that time of feeling like, oh my goodness, this is a tenuous hold that we ever have on life, that was when I was falling in love with Sean and imagining, you know, if we portray our fears on screen or in our writing, I think that I was playing out for myself what would happen if at the beginning of your relationship with someone, at the beginning of it happily ever after, if all of a sudden you lose that person. And that was the scenario that I found myself both, you know, repelled by, fascinated by. And that's where I think I put that anxiety or interest, was into the scenario that Rebecca's character, Hannah, finds herself in.
And how do you handle structurally this enormous backstory of a character we never see with basically no flashbacks, which I thought was amazing because you can stay with her in the present moment and how she's dealing with it. But had you ever considered flashbacks, or, you know, how did you build the life of the ghost character that we don't see?
Well, we definitely thought of flashbacks.
There were some drafts that had a couple just imagistic, you know, the sidelong glances of Hunter in old hiatus or whatever, what do you call it? Home videos. But then, you know, that was really Sean's
choice. But I think from the very beginning, once we hit on the idea that that he was going to be a musician, the idea started bubbling with us that wouldn't it be cool, because a musician can haunt someone like nobody else can. I mean, it's like our fascination with sad songs. You know, you can get into a place where you just want to go deep and you want to have the music take you there. If you want a good cry, you put on that song that gets you, and you ride the train into the darkness.
And then imagine if that's your husband who was lost. Imagine if it's this person that you love so much who is then speaking to you, holding you from beyond the grave, and writing or singing lyrics that are probably about you. How do you, what more do you need to personify somebody than that voice? And also, as you would always say, Sean, it sort of puts the audience in the same place as Hannah, our protagonist, because it leaves you with all that she's got, which is just, you know, beautiful but not enough.
I love the music so much. As soon as I was done watching the movie, I went and tried to look up the music, and I wanted to hear it again. I mean, it was so great. I love the choice there. Did you always know that he was going to have this sound, like the more folk singer, a sort of like just this timeless guitar.
Yeah, I mean, we were listening to a lot of Ray LaMontagne when we were working on the screenplay in the early years, and Ray had just sort of appeared on the scene. We saw him.
He's a Mainer.
He's a Mainer, yeah. He actually lived in this area for a while. So, to a certain extent, that kind of manly, sexy, but
totally
vulnerable voice was always present there. And then it was just a question of finding who it was, you know, the actor who could play him, the musician who could play him. And that took a long time to find somebody willing to do this big thing of, you know, giving us a whole album.
In character.
We were very intent that it should be all original songs and not necessarily just be some musician's existing work.
Oh, and Jenna, the soundtrack just landed on iTunes.
Oh, good. I'll have to get that.
You can pre-order it anyway. I think it's coming out like next week, but it is happening.
Awesome. I love the music. As soon as I loved it when I saw the trailer. I thought it sounded so great, and I was like, oh, I got to get this. But just to jump to the comedy for a second, because it is so soulful and so intense, but there's so many funny moments. I also loved so many of the lines. I loved Jason Sudeikis. He brings such a comedy to it. Did you always see this character as being kind of the light part of the film, or how can you talk about in the writing process how you balance the comedy with you know, the sadness?
We just tried to, you know, my aim always, as I was even saying before, about making sure that this, you know, how do you portray grief with a woman who's not necessarily going down the conventional rabbit hole? I did not want to tell a maudlin story. I didn't want to tell, I wanted it to be emotional, but I didn't want it to just be a hopeless sob story, and I wanted it to be very lifelike. And, you know, life happens all at once, and you can be grieving the loss of somebody, but also, you know, you're still a living person. You still, you know, I think that Hannah combats her grief herself through comedy. She protects herself behind this shield of her own wit, and the Andrew character was always meant to be sardonic, kind of the know-it-all from New York, the person who was coming into this community without even knowing it, with that, like, understated disdain that there are probably people living smaller lives up here. And it was important that there was a kind of battle of wit between the two of them, not just because it's more fun to write and watch, but because this is the sort of scenario that was dramatically interesting to us. You know, as Sean always likes to say, what is the expression that I love so much that you say?
That humor reveals humanity better than straight drama can ever do.
Yeah, we both believe that.
Such a big part of who we are, and we just got incredibly lucky that we got to work with Jason, since he is a genius, and I mean, he's like a great musician who can riff on the music that Desi wrote and bring it to life with his own inflection. Not riff like invent and improvise, but strictly the way he's playing those notes, you know, has so much personality. Unlike any other comedian, the man is really brilliant. So
we were really privileged to have Hannah and Andrew embodied by, you know, Jason and Rebecca, who were everything we could have dreamed of for their soulfulness, their comedic timing, and their obvious intelligence. Like, these are two really, really smart people that we had the privilege of casting, and they just got. They brought everything to the level that we wanted of authenticity, humor, and really just a reality.
Absolutely. Their chemistry is so good. And, you know, you like watching them, their relationship grow. And then I also loved the Finley character, which is his girlfriend. And that's such a slow burn of destruction. You know, obviously you're hoping that the two leads will get together, but how did you construct this other character, his other girlfriend, knowing that they would eventually just, I guess they have to break up, and you don't show really the breakup, which I thought was so clever too. Can you talk about how you came, was that several different characters that you had there, or did you always have sort of this steely blonde New Yorker type?
Well, we didn't know what her hair color was going to be, but we certainly thought that she would be not necessarily the wrong girl. She was not supposed to be a girl who was easily disposable, nor was she supposed to be a bad girl. She was just supposed to be not quite the right girl for who Andrew becomes at the end of the movie. I think that the idea is that he comes on a bit of a journey himself, and that Andrew's priorities and values have shifted a little bit from the beginning to the end, hopefully through the course of his experience in Maine and his intense, brief but intense interaction with Hannah. And it sort of makes Finley no longer exactly the right person for him by the time he gets sort of through the function box. Does that make sense?
Function box.
You know what I mean? Like in math?
Yeah.
All right. We can do better than that.
No, it's great. But, I understand.
She's sort of supposed to represent all the great things about the sophisticated, worldly, maybe a little bit more...
Maybe a little more climbing, maybe a little more ambitious, and experiential. And we tried really, really hard to make her into a character that was not a throwaway and into a person that wouldn't reflect badly on him.
You want to understand why they're together, and that, of course, they make a great couple. And if if Andrew and Finley stayed in New York, if Andrew never came up to Maine, probably they would have stayed together, and it's possible that they would have had their happily ever after on their own. And we didn't want the Finley character to be somebody where you're rooting against her. I think that everyone feels a little bit of sadness both for Finley and for Joe, for the Curtis character. That there's a little bit like, hey, those guys didn't have good chemistry too, but that is life, isn't it? That
right.
It's not always. There's some bodies left in the week.
One last question, just what's next for you guys? You're going to work on another project together?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm writing an independent feature film right now for Sean to direct, hopefully, and it's also set in Maine, because when you live in a place that's pretty, it's hard not to set movies here.
Well, thanks so much, guys. Love the movie. Love talking to you. I hope I talk to you for the next one, too.
Thanks so much. Thanks for your interest in the film.
Sure. Okay, take care. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.